что мега меч. Это ставит у них. Мега меч. Не-не-не, все могу вставить.
I always feel when we sing, it's like a fresh breeze from Guru Kabir Dham, which comes to enliven our soul. So now the frog who announced the master. Now the real, after the Javas, the real singer of Krishna Kirtan, the cup.
Oh, he's gonna lie. Rama, Rama, Rama. As most of you know, this what our Srila Prabhupada called the Hare Krishna movement or the Krishna consciousness movement. In one sense, we say, it began on a certain date in 1966 in a place in what we call New York. We are celebrating this, as also many of you know, this year, 50 years of a particular institution called ISKCON, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And as we know, this was established by Srila Prabhupada on the inspiration of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, after a suggestion. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur met Prabhupada met Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur in sort of a back street in Calcutta. The place is still there, you can visit, and actually the building has come into the possession of ISKCON now. They plan to renovate the building. In another sense, of course, we can say the Krishna consciousness movement began much before this. What would be the word you'd use for movement in this case? Pulpit. Yeah. I like the word movement more. Sorry. Because it includes the sense of movement. And movement gives us the sense of motion, which leads us, when I reflect on the word, to the idea of emotion. And certainly the Krishna consciousness movement is about emotion, spiritual emotion. And we make this distinction, spiritual versus material emotion. And perhaps a simple distinction, simple definition would be that spiritual emotion is liberating and material emotion is binding. And as we know, as living beings, we all seek freedom. We all seek, if we feel that we are somehow constrained, controlled, oppressed, put under some limitation, we immediately react to that. So the Krishna consciousness movement is about moving. We can say it's a social movement, but it's more than that. It's a spiritual movement to bring us to spiritual emotions. And spiritual emotions are also distinct from material emotions in that they are ever expanding into more and more wonderful emotions. One of the sages of yore, one of the Vaishnavas, he said, yad avati mama chaita krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa dananudyata pantam asit nava nava rasa nava in Croatian means nine. Nava. Yeah, in Sanskrit it can mean nine, but it also means new, as in not old. And nava nava means really new, ever fresh. Nava nava rasa, ever fresh emotion of relish of. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used the word mellow. I don't know if you can translated that into Croatian. Yeah? So, this is a movement that started, well, when did it start? Okay, we could say, let's identify it with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I like to mark the moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement when he returned from Gaya. He went to this place called Gaya to offer respects to his ancestors, in particular his father. But it so happened that one devotee was there whom he had met previously in Naladeep, and he had been very struck by his spiritual nature. And so we meet him again. His name, incidentally, was Ishvara Puri. We have an Ishvara Puri Das here. This was Ishvara Puri, who became the guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then returned to Naladeep, a changed person, completely changed. Practically, he could not continue functioning as he had been functioning before because he became so deeply affected by the emotions, the spiritual emotions of chanting the mantra which he had received from his guru, which was connecting him to the Lord. Well, I wanted to I just wanted to say a little more about this idea of the Krishna consciousness movement, but I thought the best way to do this is to quote Srila Prabhupada in his his preface to his Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada will explain later in his introduction why he's writing yet another Bhagavad Gita. There have been so many translations of it. Interestingly, after Srila Prabhupada had after he had completed his manuscript to the Bhagavad Gita entirely, he was he had a prospect, he had an opportunity to have it published in India. But when he went to get the manuscript for the publishing, it was gone. Disappeared. Something he had spent so many years writing disappeared. So what did he do? Did he think, oh well, Krishna's arrangement. I guess Krishna doesn't want me to publish Bhagavad Gita. No, he started over. He again wrote his entire book again. Okay, let me read. I'll read slowly so you can translate. Our Krishna consciousness movement is genuine, historically authorized, natural, and transcendental, due to its being based on Bhagavad Gita as it is. It is gradually becoming the most popular movement in the entire world, especially amongst the younger generation. It is becoming more and more interesting to the older generation also. That's me. Older gentlemen are becoming interested. So much so that the fathers and grandfathers of my disciples are encouraging us by becoming life members of our great society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And then he goes on about a detail to illustrate this. In Los Angeles, many fathers and mothers used to come to see me to express their feelings of gratitude for my leading the Krishna consciousness movement through the entire world. Some of them said it is greatly fortunate for the Americans that I have started the Krishna consciousness movement in America. Well, okay, here we are in Croatia. But actually, the original father of this movement is, and here Prabhupada identifies how the Krishna consciousness movement begins, the original father of this movement is Lord Krishna himself. Since it was started a very long time ago, but is coming down to human society by disciplic succession. And then he ends this paragraph saying, if I have any credit in this connection, it does not belong to me personally, but to it, it is due to my eternal spiritual master, his divine grace, Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Parivratakacharya 108, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. I won't continue reading, I just wanted to relate this one section in which Prabhupada refers to the Krishna consciousness movement. I think he refers to it somewhere in this preface. But I personally like this idea of the Krishna consciousness movement very much because it has this sense of movement. Sometimes we may feel bewildered by different sorts of movements. There are social movements, there are political movements, there are all kinds of disturbances, as we know, in this age in which we find ourselves, the age of Kali, that's a whole another subject. But the disturbances that we experience are very much part of our identification with something, as we all know, which we are not. It is like the reflection of the moon on water when the water is very much in motion. We see the reflection and we forget that it is a reflection of what the substance is. So the Krishna consciousness movement, of course, is about turning, or I should say, returning our attention back to the moon of our eternal spiritual identity, which is not disturbed by any sort of movement in this world. But having said that, we can say that Srila Prabhupada was very enthusiastic to make some disturbance in this world. But to make a spiritual disturbance, a disturbance which would uplift, which would elevate. And we see the enthusiasm with which Srila Prabhupada writes in what we have read. And we also hear the optimism. What's the word for optimism? Optimismus? Optimism. There you go, it's another Croatian word I know. this optimism, he says, it is becoming the most important movement in the world. We may not have recognized this yet. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could, in a spirit of togetherness, make such a movement in, maybe not in the whole world, but how about Croatia?
Yes.
Hey. How many people do we have in Croatia? 4 million, 5 million, no, 4 million, no, 5 million, no. It's Croatia. Yeah, whatever it is. Let's say 4.5 million, shall we? So, with 4.5 million, you know, 4.5 million, I have to admit, it makes me a little bit laugh, because I also visit China since recent years. And several of their smaller cities have only 4.5 million people. Yeah. And when I tell them about, you know, I visit a country called Croatia, they say, where? Not to belittle, actually you're so fortunate to be in this country. Specifically for this reason, there's so much opportunity for letting the waves, I would say, letting the waves of the Krishna consciousness movement roll. Sometimes I think it's more a matter of sort of getting out of the way of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movements. If we could just get out of the way, then the motion, the movement would be there. Okay, this is my little reflection to sort of set things off. Satchidananda Swami Maharaj is going to take it from here, and he has certainly some very important insights to share with us. So thank you all very much, and thank you for your attention, and are we going to have some time for discussion? Okay, so we may have some time for, we'll make some time for discussion. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. I really appreciate it, how you shared with us some of Srila Prabhupada's enthusiasm and optimism by reading from the preface of the Bhagavad Gita, how he felt so encouraged about spreading his worldwide movement. He said not only young people, but the fathers and grandfathers are joining this movement here. When he were with Prabhupada, who was just such a Vaikuntha person, this positive outlook was always very, let me say, infectious for us, his disciples. In Prabhupada's presence, you really thought there is no impossible. Everything is possible. And because we thought, as his disciples, that everything is possible, many, many things became possible which looked really impossible. I remember that. His absolute sheer enthusiasm. And I believe that is one of the secrets in our own spiritual journey. If we have the fuel means like benzene, of enthusiasm
in our life. We will go very far. But when that enthusiasm leaves us and we become haunted by doubts, then not so much makes sense any longer. I feel Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj is very much in harmony with my own thinking, and you spoke about something which I wanted to discuss today, and we didn't even have time to talk about what you wanted to speak. But I wanted to speak also about this outlook which can make us enthusiastic, by telling you all a little story which impacted or influenced me very, very much. And there was once a town, I don't think it was as big as the Chinese town you're mentioning, that the small towns are like little universes, so big. But there was a town, and before this town, there was a man who had a little hut. This man was already 80 years old, and he lived in that hut from his 15th birthday onwards. His father and his parents had died quite young. So he lived for a long, long time, 65 years, that hut before the town. And he knew everyone in the town. He knew the children, he knew the old men, he knew the newborn babies even. He was the expert on the town. So once it so happened that a person, my story is from India, a merchant came by, and he wanted to go into this town to sell his handmade oils. And he stopped before the hut and asked the old man, can you tell me what kind of people live in this town? I want to make business here by selling my fragrant oils, and I just need to know what type of customers I meet. The old man looked at him and said, let me ask you, what kind of people lived in the town which you visited last? And the man said, oh, these are very bad people. They always would argue about the price. They would always look for their own advantage. They were so selfish. And some of them were very brutal even. Oh, I'm sorry, said the old man. Most probably the people whom you will meet in my town are the same, or much like that. So the oil person, the oil merchant, went in, and he came back after one day. He had a blue eye. Someone had beaten him on the eye. And the old man asked him, what type of people did you meet here? Oh, it was exactly like you said. These people were arguing always about the price. They were extremely selfish, and some of them were even violent. Look at my eye. I am God, said the old man. And he didn't say much more. A little later, it was only half a week, 3 days later, another man came by. He had made some woolen dress, and he wanted to sell that in the city, in the town. And he asked the old man, may I ask you what kind of people live in this town? I need to do some business, and I want to know my customers before. Oh, said the old man, what type of people lived in the last town which you visited? Oh, said the man, very good people. They were very loving. They really liked my productions. They gave the right price, and I felt very invited by them. Oh, said the old man, you will most probably meet in my town the same kind of people. Really? Wow, I'm enthusiastic. So the man went into the town. He came after 1 week out of the town. He said, old man, it was exactly like you said. I sold everything, but they didn't want me to leave, so I stayed there and I ate a lot of chapatis, and look at me, I'm so much in good shape, and my belly is very much I'll send the big people, send the old man, and how were the people? Well, exactly like you said, very loving, very kind, they gave the right price. This is the best town in the universe. The old man nodded his head and said, I'm happy that you see the world like this. But what do you mean? Oh, said the old man, there was another man just before you who saw only bad things. In whatever town he went, he met brutal people, cruel people, unkind people. But you seem to meet everywhere kind and loving people because you are kind and loving. May you always remain like this, and may God always bless you. For Srila Prabhupada, the world was like the world for the second man. He saw opportunities everywhere. The only thing I heard him once complain was that his disciples sometimes quarreled. He said, you Americans, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj is transcendentalist. You are only good for two things, and one of the things was quarreling. But otherwise, Prabhupada saw opportunity everywhere. Once when he came to New York, he had just started. It was a cold winter, and he took his morning walk in the Central Park, and he sat there to take a little rest on a bench, and a man sat next to him. The man asked him, are you from India? Prabhupada said, yes. What are you doing here? Prabhupada said, preaching the novel message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how is it going? Very nice, said Prabhupada. We have temples here, we have books, we have farms, and many people practicing. Oh, said the old man, I'm very interested. Can I read your books? See your farms? Can I meet you? Visit your temples? Prabhupada said, very soon. Only little time is separating. Just look at the outlook of Prabhupada. He had the very, very good outlook of the second man. And the world responded. Krishna responded. There is this verse, I think all of you know, Nitya Nityana Chaitanas Chaitananda. Of all those who are eternal, that's us, there is one supreme eternal, that's Krishna. And since time immemorial, that means very long back, he has been fulfilling the desires of the many. My dear devotees, when you think that everything is possible, everything will be possible for you. You will attract such things into your life. But when you think negatively, when you think bad about someone, that you will meet a monster in your neighbor. Yes. I come from Germany. There is a very nice philosopher there, old philosopher, who said, if you always deal with monsters, you have to be careful that you don't become a monster yourself. If you always look into the abyss, do you know what is an abyss? What is the creation word for abyss? The what? Yes. That Bistan, that abyss will look into you. If you always look into the abyss will stare into your face. It is so important for a devotee to practice mental hygiene. It's not enough to just do physical hygiene. You need to take care here that the mind and the heart remains pure. If you allow negativity to overwhelm you, then it will come. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, you will only have, negativity will only come to you if you allow it to come to you in your mind. It's very, very important. I know some of you will say, not possible, but look at from the spiritual perspective and you will see something very nice. I want to call to your attention the greatest, someone who is known as the greatest of Bhakta, many greatest Bhakta, but one of them, Sri Prahlada Maharaj. You know, because of his Krishna consciousness, his father, Hiranyakashipu, became his greatest enemy and tried to take the life of little Prahlada. He arranged snakes and threw his son into a pitch, into a group, but how do you call it? An abyss of snakes. But Prahlada Maharaj saw Krishna everywhere, the snakes were reminded of Anantashesha and became friends. Hiranyakashipu brought his son to elephants and made a, it's called a stampede. I do not know what is the Croatian word. He made them crazy, the elephants, and they began to charge Prahlad. But when they came to Prahlad, who thought of Krishna all the time, they took him up on the head and placed them there. Finally, Hiranyakashipu devised a plan. He had his henchmen. Henchmen are the, you know, these executors. They look like Yamaraj. I don't know how they paint it. The Yamadutas, they look like that. He had his little son thrown down the cliff. This is from the Nishinya Purana. And then Prahlad went into the ocean. It was very deep in the ocean. By that time, he was in ecstatic trance of Krishna consciousness. So the demons threw some rocks on Prahlad, big rocks, like this, maybe the ceiling here, to keep him down on the ground so that it was sure he would drown. But Prahlad was so ecstatic in Krishna consciousness that he just didn't seem to notice it. And because of being so much moved in spiritual emotion, the emotion is, it is an emotion which comes from inside, deep inside your heart, it comes out. The ocean became turbulent. And Varuna was alerted, wow, my ocean is becoming turbulent, what is happening? And he went to the place and saw there was Prahlad vibrating in ecstatic Krishna consciousness. He thought, wow, the greatest devotee is with me. And he personally carried Prahlad out of the ocean.
sand beach, and Prahlad opened his eyes and he saw Varuna. "Who are you?" said Prahlad. "You look very funny." Varuna. "Oh, I'm Varuna. Oh, you are the god of the ocean. Please tell me. I want to see my lord. I want to be with my lord. You are a great devotee. You are Varuna. Give me a tip what I should do." Varuna said, "I am a small devotee. You are a great devotee. You always meditate about the Lord. The Lord is in your heart." "Yeah, yes, that may be," said Prahlad. "But you are seeing the Lord. You are worshipping Him. I am only meditating about Him. I only have a mental image of Him. You are great. What shall I do? Tell me." And he was crying. Varuna said, "But that's too much." Then he said, "Well, I have heard that you will get the audience of the Lord if you pray." As the Sanskrit word says, "Vandanam madarshanam." You get the darshan of the Lord, or my darshan, says Krishna, by prayer. So Prahlad did this, and Lord Vishnu appeared before him on the beach. And Prahlad was crying and crying. The Lord said, "Why do you cry? I'm here." And he saw the Lord. And the Lord said, "I will soon disappear, but I just wanted to say, you are my great devotee. You always see me. You do not see negativity. You don't see..." I will explain this in a moment. "And I will appear to you before your eyes. I will appear. And I will appear before the eyes of the Father the moment He attacks you, because I always protect my devotees." So, in other words, the Vishnu prophesies that soon Hiranyakashipu will come himself. He will not send his people any longer. He will come with his sword and try to attack you. "Then I will not tolerate it any longer. And I will come. I will be very angry." So Prahlad, then Lord Vishnu disappeared. And Prahlad went into the palace. He was very joyful. He went right to Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu saw, "I thought you were dead in the ocean." "And no," Prahlad said, "I'm here." "And now you have to understand something. Hiranyakashipu really felt first deep panic and then a lot of anger. And he became very angry. Do you know what Prahlad Maharaj thought? He thought, he's my father. He must be joking with me. After all, he's my father. Whenever there was something which happened to Prahlad, any attack to him, he was so pure-hearted. He thought, this is just a joke. My father is a little rough joke, tough joke, tough jokes. But he just did not have this negative perspective. And because of that, he prayed with deep faith to Krishna. And the Lord appeared at the moment that he really needed help, when his father was going to attack and kill him with a raised sword. My dear devotees, I'm telling you this to bring you the third perspective. The first perspective when there is danger is to run away. When there are unpleasant circumstances in our life, we just run away. We say, "I have nothing to do any longer with these political people." But we run away.
That's a normal, it's a flight reaction. The second reaction is not the flight reaction, but the fighting reaction. You begin to make arrangements, and you begin to fight with those whom you perceive to be against you. Prahlad didn't take the flight arrangement nor the fight arrangement. He took the Krishna arrangement. He took shelter under Krishna's lotus feet. This, by the way, is the only remedy to fight our real enemy. The real enemy is Kali, who is trying to attack devotees, trying to make to destroy their faith, trying to bring one devotee against another devotee and fight. It's not between the two devotees. The person who is there in the background and who rubs his hands in Vaishnava's quarrel is Kali. Therefore, in the scriptures it is said we should never take the side of any Vaishnava, because of any Vaishnavas when they quarrel, because at that moment we really take the side of Kali. But you may say, but Sachinanda Maharaj, what is about right and wrong? Some people are right and some people are wrong. No, can't you see this? That is on one level, but there is another level, a higher level, and it looks totally different on the other level. There you find Kali moving in this Kali Yuga. It's his age. If you look at another level still, there is Krishna. The highest perspective, the highest mover, the ultimate mover. So when there are difficulties in life, turn to Krishna. Pray to Krishna. Say to Krishna, my Lord, I can't solve this alone. My Lord, I'm a simple person. You please help and you please move. I don't want to see that this wonderful enthusiastic movement with the wonderful vision which our Maharaji has today described to us and moved our hearts very much by this. I want to see that this prospers. I want to see that all Vaishnavas are happy and that they can serve Krishna. Sometimes this may mean that some Vaishnavas cannot maybe work together on one level so well because they have different outlooks, different perspectives. No problem. Then Prabhupada used to say it's utopia to think that we will all be the same in this world. We have a different mind, a different understanding, and so on. Like you have seen in the... Anyways, that's another point in the story. But there is enough place in the world. There's enough place in Croatia to have many different centers, many different devotees, different approaches, and so on. All what is necessary that the devotees learn to avoid this one thing that is to talk bad about each other. That needs to be avoided. There was once a very bad person who always said something bad. And then Muhammad Ali, he died. And he was, when I was, before Krishna consciousness, he was one of my heroes. I also learned from him the art of self-defense. And he said to this man who always spoke bad, he said, every time you open your mouth, you should be arrested for air pollution. I remember that. Muhammad Ali was a little outspoken. He was the most famous American. I hear an American sometimes says such impossible things. But We should learn not to talk bad about the devotees. And that is very important, because that will create a bad atmosphere, and Kali will be very happy, and we will lose our spiritual perspective, and we will lose our spiritual strength. I believe all what I want to say here is following His Holiness Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj's wonderful presentation is never allow negativity to throw its shadow into your mind and into your heart. We live in a negative age. It's the age of Kali, and there are many people who say that there is a very little, very wars and so on. But I also have a little surprise to you. I was preaching at a conference last weekend, and there was one professor. He said, the spiritual people always say everything is so bad. He said like this. But is it really? And then he said, let's take violence. When you lived in older times, your chance was 20% that you would die a violent death. Nowadays, the chance is 1.25% that someone will die from violence. It's not a big chance, 1%. But he said, because our age is so much controlled by negative propaganda, everyone thinks it's so bad. What is bad is only the bad news. And he gave many examples of what people nowadays, not devotees, people think is bad. And it's not wrong. They just believe bad news. And they have become so negative. Like, for instance, in Germany, another example. In Germany, everyone was totally mad about the refugees. Do you know refugees? From where?
Syria.
Syria, yes. Big, traumatic thing there. Every day, full of news, the refugees and the Germans were afraid to go on the street where maybe I see a Syrian refugee, and they were making such bad propaganda. They wanted to get rid of Angela Merkel. I don't know if you have heard about her. She is a politician who says things. Our wealthy Germany should be able to take care of a few people who lost their homes. But the Germans were so mad, they almost threw her out because of this reason. Then it was found out by a statistical invention, or statistical question, that there are only, again, the 1% of the German populations are refugees from what is it, from Syria. But there is one village with 1,500 population in Italy, some Riace or something, small town, where 1/3 of the population, that's 33%, is from Syria and Africa. And they have a good time. They like to share recipes and dancing and so on and so forth, because they have not heard this negative information. They don't think there's any problem. My dear devotees, keep your heart pure. It's the only place for God, where God can stay. Keep your mind pure. It's the only place where Kali cannot go, if it is a pure mind with Krishna. And let us see, not so much problems. The problems need to be dealt with. It goes very fast. then everyone sees opportunities. Oh, we have all these opportunities. Oh, so many preachers are needed. We need so much more preachers, so much more devotees, and so on. And where is the problem? Here. Okay, here. Oh, let's solve it so that everyone can do their service with great happiness. That's all what I want to say today. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Questions on creation, and Helena ti prevodi na engleski.
Yes, okay.
And she will translate to the English.
Yes. So don't be shy.
Oni čuju, Helena, oni čuju tamo.
Okay, we have one hand raised back here. Do we have a microphone?
No.
We don't.
So. Marge, do you hear her? Speak, please. You hear? So, pričajte devil ask on creation. So, ako neko želi postaviti pitanje, pitajte na hrvatski, a Helena će prevesti na engleski za gost.
You can, because you know your question very well. I think it's good if you maybe ask first in English, then we can think about your question. And then you say it in the sweet Croatian language as well. The Slavki Jesik.
So, my question is that you all have accepted the name of the power. So, Shiloh Prabhupada said that we will show our God to you by cooperation. So, he mentioned that on many occasions. So, can you give us some tips or some important things that we should
Thank you. Very nice question. Yes, nice question. Sometimes we hear this word cooperation. Is this another word that I know in Croatian? Cooperation. Okay. Anyway, I don't know how it rings in Croatian, but in English, sometimes the word cooperation, although it's actually a nice word and the meaning is a nice meaning, sometimes when we hear this word, we cringe. We go, oh no, they're talking about cooperation again. You know, thank you, but no thank you. And that's understandable that we have that reaction, because unfortunately some people have the idea cooperate means you cooperate with me. Right? You never had that experience growing up. All the time. So, I think this is Latin co-operation. Co means together. And the sense I have it is of equality. That if two persons or a group of persons are cooperating, there's a sense of operating together without the idea that somebody is superior and somebody is inferior. Now, this is a big subject, but you know, there's a place within Christian consciousness for hierarchy. I grew up in a military family. Watch out. And so I sort of got this sense from childhood that people have rank, you know, and somebody outranked somebody else. Someone can order someone of an inferior rank to do something, and that person simply has to do it without question. So I grew up with that. Actually, I was fortunate. My father, at home, he didn't operate that way. He was the officer in the military. But he was actually very kind. But of course, Christian consciousness is also about it's about equality, because spiritually we're all equal. And these two things are simultaneous, and so there's a kind of simultaneous one thing and the other. And this is what many find difficult to juggle. And the result of this difficulty is that we tend to just, we do the flight program or the fight program, but not the Krishna program. So cooperation, I would suggest, may involve acknowledging some sort of hierarchy. Someone is, for the time being, in a position, dare I use the word, of authority. And here we want to make a distinction between authority and authoritarian. Someone who is authoritarian is demanding rather than being given authority, it's someone who is demanding authority. And of course that can only work for a short time. But real authority is, where is real authority? It's in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any authority that anyone has is borrowed from the Lord. And when that's recognized, then there can be a spirit of cooperation. So that would be one point I would make, is let's search for that humility within our hearts which allows us to take the humble position. And sometimes to take the humble position is to say, actually, you might be right. So we'll do it your way. We'll try it. And maybe it'll work. But let's just try it for a certain period of time, and then let's discuss if it works. And if it works, great, we'll continue. And if it didn't work so well, let's try it my way. So that's a reasonable way of functioning in collaboration, because there will be differences of opinion. We should do things like this. No, we should do things like this. No, and here's where the trouble comes. Someone says, no, Prabhupada said dot, dot, dot. And what they've done is they've eliminated 10,000 things that Prabhupada said in order to take the hammer of quoting Prabhupada and taking a statement from Prabhupada and using it as a hammer. Using it as a hammer instead of using it as a source of illumination. Anyway, this point of equality is something we need to pursue in order to function cooperatively, I would say. That would be one.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Thank you very much, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, for your definition, actually, what is cooperation and how it can work. This is wonderful, and I will take this home with me, this inspiration or analysis. It's always good to hear someone who is, yes, learn it. I would like to just shed some light from my own practical experience. Many don't know, but I was together with one very nice devotee, Ashok Kumar Prabhu. We were considered in the old times a dream team. We were, for instance, opening temples in Austria. We went together and opened the farm, the Singhachala farm, and arranged for much of the Lakshmi. We were together in opening Goloka Dham. No, there he was doing something else. But he opened alone without me. I was in Sweden, but we discussed on the phone the Heidelberg temples. Senator Savitska Studsky studies, some of you know. Many, many projects. No gentleman wants to speak about the projects because we know it's Krishna's ultimately. But we went together in so many preaching projects. Pioneer projects here in Europe and on the North European zone. But do you know, it was extremely difficult because Ashok Kumar, he comes from a family of real strong managers, and he was a real strong manager, and I was more a preacher. And we had different perspectives on almost on many, many things. And we would sometimes have to discuss. And it was so intense when we discussed. We needed to go into a room with a closed door so that no young devotees would hear it and become bewildered. Those were the times when discussions were kept private, which were a little, it was volcanic explosions, because, and it was really difficult for both of us. But we understood, for higher reason that is to spread this wonderful movement for Krishna consciousness, we need each other, and therefore we always we stayed together, I believe, for 10 years or so, a really long time, and we drove everywhere and started many things because the combinatio worked very nice. Although it was for both of us, we were shaking because we were strong people and had very strong opinions on everything. But it was, sometimes we thought we could not continue, especially I sometimes needed a pause for a few days from Ashok Kumar. You need to get out of my sika, Ashok Kumar, for 3 weeks. But because we understood this is for a higher purpose, I believe both of us have spiritually very much profited from this idea of cooperation. Cooperation makes sense, is possible. You were asked this question. If you concentrate on the higher goal, and for that make the sacrifice of tolerating each other's differences. Thank you. Very nice question, Ananda Baba. Thank you. Is there someone in your life where you feel you should better cooperate? I think we all know. I think we have to start on an individual platform. We first have to think that this is worthwhile to cooperate, to get to a higher goal. And then we need to do the little sacrifice. Maybe it happens even in marriages, I understand, that there are different perspectives on something. But will you just flight or fight? No, you will say, well, let's see how we can work this out and come to a higher, and do it because of a higher reason, a higher purpose. This is, as you do this, you will mature. But if you run away or if you fight, you know, there is no growth. You will stay on the level where you are. But each moment, my dear devotees, each time you actually surrender because you understand this is for a higher reason, it's for pleasing Krishna, you grow 20,000 meters.
This is a prayer which probably all of you know. Vancha kalpa dhruvyascha kripa sindhu yadevascha patihana bhavaneyo vaishnaveyo namo namaha. Yes, actually at the very end of the prayer it says namaha, namaha, twice. I offer obeisance, I offer obeisance. And then the verse is describing the Vaishnavas. They are Vancha Kalpa Taru. They are a special kind of tree. What sort of tree? Yes, well, a Vancha Kalpa. Wish fulfilling tree, yes. Kripa Sindhu. Sindhu means Ocean. Ocean is a big body of water. Very big. Kripa means? Yes, mercy. Kripa Sindhu means? Ocean of mercy. Mancha kalpa durubhu yascha kripa sindhu. This pya ending is the dative plural case. It's just a grammatical thing. Mancha kalpa durubhu yascha kripa sindhu yascha patitanam. Of those who are fallen, pavanevya, they are the purifiers. The purifiers of those who are fallen. Patitanam. Vaishnavevya, Vaishnava, namo namaha, I offer respect to the Vaishnavas. And what or who is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is one who, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, is a person who grasps the essence. Saragrahi. Saragrahi. Grahana means to grasp, and Sara means essence, and a person who grasps is a grahi. So Saragrahi Vaishnava, this is our aim, to become the Saragrahi Vaishnava, the one who can see through all of the things which are not important, things which are connected with ignorance, connected with passion, whatever, things which are distracting from the essence, to actually get the essence. And so Saragrahi Vaishnava. So Vancha Kalpa Taru Yascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patita Nam Paneyo Vaishnaveyo Namo Namaha. Yes, this becomes something of a habit. In the temples, it becomes a bit of a routine. After the Mangalarti Arti, now let us offer respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who are just like desire trees, able to fulfill the desires of everyone, and are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. We always recite this, and then we kind of sleepily go through the recitation. But there's a very rich and very weighty meaning to the offering of obeisance. And so it is something that we do well, as you suggest, to do. And that is to actually offer obeisance. There is obeisance in words, and so that's what we do with the mantra. And then there's also obeisance with with mind, and then there's obeisance with the body. And the word nama literally means bend. I bend. It's making the physical motion downward, because that's acknowledging. I spoke about equality, but it's acknowledging inferiority. I bend, I bow before you, and in this way acknowledge you as much. So, shall we try this? That's a very nice idea. Offering the obeisances. Do you feel
actually, I was doing a lot of research for the time of life school. Some of you have heard the Vedic Way. And I came to a statement of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which at first surprised me. You know, I was waiting, I was trying to find a value in Krishna consciousness which would be central to the practice of Vaishnavism. And then I saw that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in Jaiva Dharma, the main quality of the main dharma of the Vaishnava is daya, or compassion. Then I looked up in the three principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I found out nama ruchi. You know what that means? Taste in the holy name. Vaishnava seva. We have to serve Vaishnavas. And third, and you know everything. Jiva daya, showing compassion to living entities. And it said, this is what Mahaprabhu's teachings are in these three principles. Then I found this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, compassion. Now, a little later, I studied again the Bhagavatam and I saw how Prahlad Maharaj, when he asked for Lord Nrsimhadev for blessings, he asked two blessings. One is for himself, that please, my Lord, appear in my heart and remove these attachments to material desires from my heart. And then, he is not satisfied by praying to Lord Nrsimhadev for something for himself to enjoy, but he says, Svasyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidata. My Lord, please let there be auspiciousness all over the world, and let all those who have bad feelings towards each other, who are envious towards each other, think only of the welfare of each other. So it's a Vaishnava principle to really wish good for others. We have maybe heard sometimes, no, we should think the karmis are dirty, and that's how we make advancement. There may be a small part for detaching yourself from material world and the material habits, that this is a good preaching. But overall, we hear really, as Vaishnavas, we should wish well for others. It's good for us, it's good for the universe, it's good for the world if there are people who want to spread auspiciousness for others. So I think in our ranks and files, it says charity, doing good for others, starts at home. So we should start with us. And I think there is a good way to pray this prayer. It's the way which our Maharaj has translated the Sanskrit for us. Is it Sanskrit? And we should. I request you to sit properly. There are different obeisances. We will just make an obeisances by folding the hands. There are those who obeisances where you go down. Then we will do other times, maybe at the end of the program. But for simplicity, I request you to take your hands. It's just the gesture. Anjali. It's an Anjali gesture. And you please think now of a Vaishnava where it's very easy for you to wish well for that Vaishnava. that is very easy to respect. Maybe someone like Krishna Chandra Maharaj or Chandramouli Maharaj or your best friend who is a Mayapur teacher. You think of that person, that it's easy for you to pay your obeisances because you like that person. Everyone has such a person, or is it difficult for you to find? Yes, no,
yes,
yes. Okay, this is easy, yes. Okay, now widen your circle. Think of someone who's neutral. You feel neutral. Maybe hopefully you feel neutral towards me, you know. You don't love me, you don't hate me, but neutral. So, someone who's neutral. Someone who's maybe you don't know much about that person. And now think about, you found someone? Good. Now you find, please, someone where you are not sure so much. Maybe you feel you had some difficult time in the past with this person. But please see that he is also trying to serve. He's also trying to purify his life. He knows misery like you know misery. He knows happiness. And most important, he has joined the movement because he's trying to grow. Again, think of someone whom you really like. It's very easy for you to pay obeisances and be respectful. Think of someone where you feel a feeling of neutrality. And think of someone who is maybe a difficult relationship in your life. We think of Vaishnavas, huh? Devotees. Now we will have our hands close to our heart. We sincerely offer our obeisances to the fact that they are all devotees of the Lord. It doesn't mean we share all their viewpoints, but we share that they are devotees of the Lord. Please let us say together. Vanchakal Mataru Yasha Kripa Sindhu Vai Vacha Patita Nam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha. One more time. Vanchakal Mataru Yasha Kripa Sindhu Vai Vacha Patita third time, in case we were a little slow. Let us be a little in silence. Just let us see, how do we feel now?
There is a reason why this is part of our of the morning program, which is done in the temple. By the way, we just talked with Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. We were late yesterday going to bed, but we wanted to be the morning program together. It was a wonderful experience for us. Wonderful to be in the temple, to see the deities, to pray, to go down, and sometimes to dance, Prabhupada sometimes would end a program with 5 minutes of your time. Shall we do this?
Yes!
practice.